All right, it is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you in on a Wednesday. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. We go out to Jersey and we say, what's up, Michael? How are you?
I'm great, Patrick. How are you on a Wednesday? How is my man on a Wednesday? You good?
I'm doing great, my friend. Better than the Big Ten. By the way, I just have to say this because it just happened. So Wisconsin and Nebraska canceled because of a Badger outbreak. Now, this goes back to August 11th when they mishandled how to handle this. You know this, Michael. So they don't have built-in buys. So here we go with the Big Ten, Wisconsin and Nebraska shut down.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I don't understand how you could do this without, I mean, they didn't want to do it. That's how I understand it. They really didn't want to do it. And that's I think the pressure made them do it. And now they're dealing with, how do you not have buys? I mean, you know, we're all getting accustomed to the buys. We're all getting accustomed to, you know, some teams having to deal with it and move on to different weeks. So if you're Kevin Warren, you've got to think, how's this all going to play out? I don't know how, what they thought. I know they thought they didn't want to do it, but you know, I mean, for me, there had to be bye weeks put in there, and they had to extend the season, as we see in the NFL. The NFL is still treading lightly on that as well. They don't want to put another week in, but they may have to.
Yep, 100%. Frankly, it's been pretty clean for the NFL the way it's been handled. And again, Wisconsin, Nebraska, if you're just joining us, breaking news here on the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Paul Christ is one of them, a Badger outbreak. So that game this weekend has been shut down, postponed at least. Well, actually shut down because you can't postpone it. There is no wiggle room. Okay, couple of things, Michael. First off, as we open up the show, the Dodgers, I don't know if you stayed up for it, Game 6 World Series. That means
No,
you're not going to do that. No. But 2020, no. Like, listen,
I'm not doing
so
that.
The Dodgers, for the first time in 32 years, they win a World Series, right? And then during the game, Justin Turner's ripped from the lineup because of COVID. Next thing you know, they're taking pictures with the trophy. He's out there. So this is like, it was a wild scene in Arlington.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations to the Dodgers. Not that I hold anything against them. I was rooting for the Rays, but you know, I mean, for me, I'll stay awake for Matt Nagy's offense to enlighten me with his great play calling. I'm just not staying awake for baseball. I apologize for that. Because you know, Matt Nagy's play calling, I can learn a lot from that. I can learn how to get 3 yards and then punt.
Have you seen a worse 5-2 team? And I want to get to the big news. There's a couple of news notes as far as trades we'll get to in just a second. But Nagy's offense, unimaginative. Foles, you know, I don't know if Greasy was supposed to say what he said during the broadcast. It feels like maybe it was a conversation.
That's true.
Right? But it's true. Go ahead.
It's true. I mean, this offensive line is horrible. I did a radio show today in Chicago, and of course, I said they have. I've been saying they have no mental toughness, and I said Nagy's an offensive coordinator, not a head coach. And all the fans in Chicago think the opposite. They think the opposite. Now, Lombardi, you're crazy. Of course, I was crazy about Mitchell Trubisky too. So just so we get that straight, right? Let's just put that out there. I was crazy about him. They knew more about him than I did. I know more about this than you do. Nagy can't be a head coach. He has no toughness. He has zero toughness. His team has no toughness. And so because of that, his personality can't be inflected into the team. As an offensive coordinator, I'm not saying he's a good offensive coordinator whatsoever, but that's the only job he could really hold. He's proven that over his time. The Bears are good on defense, and you can just see it in the game. When their defense knows their offense can't do anything, whether it was with Trubisky or with their playmaking or their ability to attack, they just melt. I mean, they're dominating that front. I mean, Akeem Hicks is picking up people left and right and throwing them into Goff's face, getting called penalties, by the way. I mean, they can't block Mack coming off the edge. And yet, because they never play from in front, which is the fundamental issue with the Chicago Bears, they're always in these close games, and they end up losing because their defense is playing doubleheaders. So, look, I think they'll beat the bad teams in the league. There's no doubt. You know, they'll be able to play the bad teams. But when they play a team like this week against New Orleans can score, and New Orleans will do things to neutralize their two best players. New Orleans will get this game into the 20s. The Bears will move the ball on New Orleans because New Orleans is prone to give up plays. We saw that. But it's going to be hard for them to put consistent drives together. So that's why I think you'll see that. I think the line is just slightly at 4 right now. It stayed at 4. It's trekking pretty good. There's been no cheese or sharp action or steam so far, so we'll wait and see what happens.
You're 100% right. So the Bears were Dogs at home to Indy. They were dogs at home on that Thursday night to Tampa Bay. They were 6.5 point dogs at the Rams. They won those games. They won two of those three games. And now at home, a 5-2 team, they are 4-point dogs on Sunday to New Orleans. It opened 3. It's been bet up to 4 with New Orleans laying it. Chicago just keeps getting disrespected with the number.
Well, because look, I mean, is there two Nick Foles? You know, I mean, Springsteen has a song, Two Faces Have I. I mean, like, who is Nick Foles? Is he the guy that beat the Patriots in that Super Bowl, or is he the guy that played the other night? I mean, like, it's hard to figure out who he is. Yep. And this is the kind of game that the Bears offense will play. They'll play better and they'll score points. I'll get 100,000 tweets from people saying, see, the Bears offense is better than you thought. But the Saints defense is the liability here, right? The Saints defense is the liability. And unless the Saints put pressure, whether it's with Hendrickson or Cam Jordan or whomever they do it with, you know, and put pressure on Foles, which they can do. The Bears changed offensive line coaches this offseason because the last line coach knew it was bad. And he said it. You can't do that in Chicago. You got a company line here. You got to buy into it. You got to drink the Kool-Aid. The new line coaches come in. They've gotten softer and worse.
Michael Lombardi, I've got some breaking news for you as we say hi to you here on the Lombardi Line on a Wednesday. Okay, so 11-year vet Carlos Dunlap, he was upset with Cincinnati. Here's how I know. He posted the depth chart on Saturday to the Gram, and then he posted his house for sale to Twitter after the loss to the Browns on Sunday. I can't make this up. So the Bengals said, stay home to Dunlap. We're going to trade you. They traded him today to the Seahawks. Does he make a difference for the Seattle Seahawks?
You know, not the way he's been playing. I think, you know, he is at one time was a really good player. He's not been that same player. He and Geno Atkins don't anchor that defense as much as they did once before. And it's been a problem. He's not. Now, I think if he goes up in Seattle, a different atmosphere, he certainly can give them a defensive end that can maybe generate some pressure. Right now, they have no pressure in Seattle. It was a move out of desperation for Seattle. They had to do it. And this is what we're going to see at the trade deadline. I just said this to Gil. What we're going to see at the trade deadline is teams like Seattle that are in the thick of it that think they can win the Super Bowl if they get a couple pieces. They're going to take players on. And we're going to see teams, even like Dallas, who knows they're not in the race, but they could be, but they know they can't go very far. They're going to unload salary. Poe, Worley, whomever, just to get salary off their team. Therefore, they then can book that money into next year. They can roll that money over into next year. That's why this Ryan Fitzpatrick trade to Dallas is absolutely got to be one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. If anybody does that, why would you take on more debt if you're Dallas, knowing you've got to pay Dak Prescott next year, knowing the cap's going to go down, knowing you've got very little cap resources? Dallas has been pumping money into next year's cap every single chance they get. Why would they do that?
Good question. Speaking of that defense for Seattle, so we've been talking about historically bad for the Dallas Cowboys. They're allowing about 408 yards per. How about the Seahawks allowing 480, almost 480 yards per game? This is unbelievable. Now, they're keeping teams out of the end zone based on giving up 480 per, but this defense has been horrible.
It's been bad. I mean, you know, and my man Ken Norton, he's taped up. He's got his fingers taped. He's got his spikes on, you know, but I don't think it's helping. Maybe he needs to get out there and play for him. I mean, seriously, he's got, you know, 28th in the National Football League in yards per attempt. I mean, what saved them is their 15th in red zone defense. That's really what saved them. And you know, their ability to score. If they can improve this defense, and what's killed them is LJ Collier not being the guy they thought he would be. They were hoping he could be the rusher. Look, they know they don't have great coverage people. That's not what Pete's about. Pete's never about the coverage. He's about the front. And besides Jarrett Reed, they don't have a front seven player in terms of the defensive line that really creates problems, and that's going to be their Achilles heel. They're going to have to outscore people. You know, one thing about all this, they got to let Russ loose, because if they try to run the ball and not let Russ loose, they're going to have problems.
Isn't Pete an old secondary guy? They're giving up 368 yards through the air. I mean, they can stop the run.
This is the fun that it really bothers me about the league is how Pete is such a good defensive coach. How he can, you know, he brought Ken back. He brought Ken Norton back. He fired him one time. I mean, you know, and they make no adjustments during the game. They play their stuff. And, you know, Russell is kind of like Superman there. And what they do is they're fourth in the National Football League, Patrick, in turning the ball over. Their plus-minus differential in the NFL is their fourth. So that's where they gain an advantage, which is the only thing that they can really gain with their defensive personnel.
They're still betting favorites in the NFC West. Do you think they should be? They're minus 125, your betting favorite. The Rams are plus 325, 3.25. The Cardinals are 5-1, and the 49ers are 6-1. All four teams could make the postseason.
All four teams could, and I'm just scared. I'm going to go with Russell Wilson. I think Jared Goff, to me, and I'll keep saying this until I'm blue in the face, when he gets pressure, I mean, McVay really makes him to be a good player. McVay does so much for him. The other day, he was trying to, you know, he was, that was a game where just because of the ineptness of the Bears offense that really allowed the Rams to dominate the game. And that's where Goff to me is the Achilles heel. Once he get, but he'll play Seattle well because they can't pressure the passer. You know, Arizona, how he handles that, they, you know, losing Chandler Jones, they're still able to apply some pressure. I mean, Arizona really is remarkable. Their numbers, now look, they've played a really easy schedule, the 25th easiest schedule so far in the National Football League. So their numbers tend to be a little bit inflated in the power rankings. But their defense is playing much better than I thought they could based on losing Chandler Jones.
San Francisco at Seattle, Michael. This number, is it open 6? Wow, it's been bet down to 3. So Seattle's laying 3. Got to lay a little juice with the 49ers coming in.
You know who's all over this one. He's all been to the mozzarella store. He's been to the cheese shop, you know. I mean, Cafe Mozzarella, he's there. He's all over. Steam, baby. Steam coming in. You want to bet against Russell Wilson? God bless you. You do it. Last week, I had Arizona. Should have been a 3.5-point favorite on my power rankings, right? Yep. That would have been, I should have taken the 3. It should have been a slam dunk. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not going against Russell.
When you're talking total yards, passing yards against, rushing yards against, and points against, the Rams have been good. They've been top 5 in everything. This is a kid I hadn't heard of running the defense, but they're, and you've got an all-time great in Aaron Donald up front pushing through the middle there, but this defense has been miraculous for the Rams.
Yeah, what they're doing now is they're running Vic Fangio's scheme from Denver, which is Vic Fangio's scheme from Chicago. So McVay really had a good read on it. I'm disappointed in myself for not really figuring that out. I should have done that. I was on Chicago. I got my numbers said that, but I should have figured that one out. I really should have, because Stokely's a kid that's really doing a good job of taking Fangio's scheme and applying it. And it's more it has more multiplicity to it than what Wade did. Wade was going to rush 5, play cover 1. That stresses the defense if you don't have great corners. What he's trying to do is mix it up, 30% zone, 30% man, 30% man zone dogs, all those kind of things. And it's creating. And he's got a really good player inside. Now, we've seen him, like against San Francisco, when that front can't get off and someone understands how to attack the scheme like Kyle Shanahan did, you can move the football on them. When someone doesn't understand how to get to the basics of the scheme like Matt Nagy, you'll see a shutout. So it's all about the coordinators. And again, I urge people, when you're betting these games, we got to study these coordinators. We really have to understand them. Like, let's take Kellen Moore versus Jim Schwartz. People in Philly think Jim Schwartz isn't a good coach.
Oh, he's
Jim
good.
Schwartz is an outstanding defensive coach. He'll make Dallas play, and Dallas is not any good. So I don't even know what the line is for that game, but I promise you Dallas will struggle to move the football based on the Eagles' front.
So Tua's going to make his debut hosting the Rams next week. Remember, Miami coming off the bye. The Rams are going to lay 4 at Miami on the road, so I just want to get your early initial thoughts there. Rams, Miami.
You know, you know where I am on Tua. I worry about his durability. I worry about him seeing from the pocket. I worry about him handling the multiplicity of this front, of what it looks like with the Rams. I think that the Miami has played really well defensively. This nonsense about it, trading Xavier Howard, I mean, why would they trade their best player? He's their best player on their team. And if they get production out of Tua in terms of movement, not turning the ball over, and they're able to really use their defense is playing really, really well right now. Their defense has improved since week 1. It's hard to separate on these corners. That they play man-to-man. They play it hard. They play it tough. They turn the ball over. They're 9th in the NFL and plus-minus takeaway. And so they can do some things, and they're 8th in sack per play. They're going to get after Goff. It'll be a hard game for Goff.
If I could bet on a team for the next decade, it might be the Dolphins. I mean, they are set up, Michael. Now, it comes down to Tua and how he performs. Now, the Xavier Howard, they completely...
If they had Herbert, Think about this. If you put Herbert on this team, what would you say?
I know.
I mean, that's the thing, you know. I mean, I'm not sure that now. Hey, look, Tua could be a great player. Nick Saban thinks he's tremendous, you know, but I'm worried about undersized. I see it. Arizona, look, for as good as Arizona's playing this year, Murray's foot movement and Murray's ability to run and their ability to spread the field is why Arizona's so successful. His speed, Tua doesn't have this speed. Tua's going to take some hits. He doesn't have 4-4 speed. He is going to take some heavy hits when he gets out of that pocket.
Saban, what the hell does he know anyway? With exciting college and pro football action, Michael, it's time to bet and get in the game at BetMGM Sports Nevada, premier sports betting app here in town. MGM has all your favorite wagering options. Remember, you can get boosted odds specials in-game. Download the BetMGM app today. Make sure you stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Bring your state-issued ID, open an account, start placing bets anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology, fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN is reporting live from Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you analysis of the best matches. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 years or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. My Detroit Lions are grasping. They added an edge rusher. Dez Bryant's back in the league. We'll find out where. Coming up next with Michael Lombardi right here on the Lombardi Line. Presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Sports Betting Network, and now we've got some great news for you. Starting right now, you can watch every VSiN show for free. It's VSiN.com, and it's all week long. You get a 10-day. Go over there and check out the 10-day free subscription as well. You can watch Follow the Money, Numbers Game with Gil Alexander, Lombardi Line, My Guys in the Desert, and our full 14 hours of live daily sports betting program. It's all free. It's 24/7. VSiN.com this week. While you're there, check out the 10-day free subscription trial, which I mentioned. You're going to get the daily best bet email. Trust me, you'll be all in after that. Our point spread weekly betting guides. This is the perfect week to get more from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Head to VSiN.com to watch for free. As we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line, I'm Patrick. Of course, he's Michael. I just looked up and saw the Trevor Lawrence conversation starting as far as him potentially going back for his senior year to Clemson. I can't see that happening if you're sitting there in the Jets front
office.
Can I
go back to Clemson for a senior? Clemson for a senior year. You know, wouldn't that be awesome?
It would be nice.
Hang out in Anderson, South Carolina. I have a dorm room, you know, sleep till noon every day, go out, party. As you'd be 21, right? You could drink. I mean, Bill and I could be down there, have separate rooms, you know,
birthday,
just sit
Bill.
Down there. Happy birthday, Bill. Yeah, we could bring the frat house. My kids call that we hang out all the time. They call it a frat house. So we should just bring it to Clemson.
Hey, but you joke. Here's what you joke about this. But if you lined up 150-year-olds, they would all say they would go back for one more year of college. Every 40 or 30. No. I mean, literally.
I'm 60-year-old and I'm going
Brady
back.
Brady Cannon, so he has hands up in the air.
But I want money, though. I'm not going back poor. I got to have a little bit of cash on
Trevor
me.
Lawrence,
I mean, I didn't have
got
a,
some
I have
cash.
A bar. Yeah, I'm sure he does. I'm not going back as barbershop Mike's son. I with no cash at all. I want a little bit of coin. I'm going back there. I got stuff to do, you know?
Although he's a little bit of a different cat because he just turned 21. He's already engaged, and he's going to be the number one overall pick as far as a prospect. You'd have to go back to Elway. Maybe Luck and Peyton in the mix, although Leaf was
in the
discussion.
But this has happened before in the league. I don't see why we're so surprised by this. This has happened before in the league. Elway demanded a trade. Al Davis was trying to trade for Elway, and the league intervened and got him to Denver. I mean, I talked about that on Gil's show. You know, Al was bitter about that forever. Yeah. You know, he thought he was going to be able to make a deal with the Colts on, and Elway refused to play, you know, because he thought he had baseball, that he could go. Nobody thought Elway was going to play baseball. Nobody took that, but it was enough for him to demand a trade because he couldn't go back to Stanford. This kid has options. He has ways he can maneuver this thing around. And if the Jets end up with the first pick, you're Joe Douglas. You better put your salesman hat on. You better get yourself a coach that's going to walk in there and say to Trevor, look, man, we're going to win this thing together. We're going to dominate the East. It's going to be hard.
Look, man, you just made me think of John Gruden. Can you do it in your John Gruden voice?
Man, give me some juice. Oh, could you imagine John Gruden? He would go crazy. Trevor, man, I got to have you. Give me you. Give me you. He would call formations out for Trevor. I mean, he would love you, bro. He would love him, too. Yeah, he would love him. He might not know him. He'd love him anyway.
Give me some juice, man. All right.
He's going to have some juice against Cleveland. He's going to have some juice against Cleveland this week. He's going to have some juice.
Yeah?
That line's that the Sharpies are moving towards Cleveland. That's what I'm told. I heard that came by my window the other night.
Okay.
The Sharps are on Cleveland.
We'll run through that number in just a bit. How about Dez Bryant? So he's 31. He's been signed to the Ravens practice squad. Hasn't played in 2 years. Remember, the Saints gave him a shot. I think in the first practice, he popped his ACL. So Baltimore's wide receivers rank last in receptions, receiving yards. Your thoughts on Dez with the Ravens?
Who are they taking off the field? I mean, look, I think the Ravens receivers, you know, they have to be more effective in the passing game. I'm not sure it's a personnel issue. I think it's more of a scheme execution issue. I think Lamar, as much as I love Lamar, he's got to throw the ball better. He's got to throw the ball with more accuracy, you know, and I do like this signing because I do think Lamar needs big receivers that can run after the catch. He uses Mark Andrews really well. I think one thing about Lamar as an evaluator, you have to give him guys with large catch radiuses and guys that can run with it after the catch because he's never going to be pinpoint accurate. So the ball's going to be a little bit misplaced, and the guy's got to catch it and then run with it after the catch. That's what I felt like. And if he can do that and he get him on the field in that area, we'll see. But look, one thing about Dez now, Dez has never been a multi-positional player. He's never been an X, a Z, an F. He's never moved around. He's lined up in one spot. How he's going to be able to learn a new system and be comfortable remains to be seen.
They are 5-1. They are your favorites at -115 in the North. The Steelers are even betting money there at +100. Where would you go, Ravens or Steelers?
This one's an interesting line. I mean, the Sharpies are all over. The line opened at 5.5, and it got bet down. Now it's starting to come back up.
Yep.
We'll talk about this in the next segment. There's a lot to break down in this game.
And Patrick, the Ravens missing Hayden Hurst as well. Nick Boyle more of a blocker. Okay, coming back with, of course, the Detroit news, and we'll get into those lines. Week 8 NFL right here on the Lombardi Line. Indeed, you instantly get a list of quality candidates from Indeed's resume database the moment you sponsor a job. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. If you're a horse racing fan, First Bet is the place for you. It's the easiest way to bet on your favorite sports. Secure payouts, attentive customer service, and you get the reliable website, all brought to you by ExpressBet. Sign up using the promo code Vegas500 today. Immediately, you get $10 for free. Plus, you receive up to $500 in bonus wagering your first 30 days. Visit first.com/bet for more information. That's st.com/bet. Vegas 500 for the promo code. Yeah, Michael, you were right. Pittsburgh, Baltimore this week. That is sitting right now. Baltimore lane 3.5. Wow. How about Pittsburgh getting disrespected for the second straight week? I know which way you're going to be there.
Well, I mean, my numbers say Pittsburgh should be the favorite. Should be. I think if the books put out the numbers, if they made Baltimore the favorite, they would have had to take too much money on Pittsburgh. I mean, this game is, you know, look, last time they played in Pittsburgh, when Pittsburgh still didn't have a quarterback, it was a 26-23 game in overtime. And then the last game when they played right after Christmas in week 17, you know, with my man, the Duckster and Mason Rudolph, it was a 28-10. So you got to throw that game out. Typically, these games are close, you know, but Pittsburgh hasn't won in Baltimore in the last two times. They've lost by 7 and by 18, one of them with Big Ben. And I think with Ndakwe coming in and their ability to play man-to-man and put some pressure on the passer, their defense is really good. The question marks are going to be, because Pittsburgh doesn't allow you to run the football effectively, can Baltimore make plays in the passing game? Because you can attack this Pittsburgh secondary. You can attack the, you can attack Joe Hayden. Teams are doing it left and right. You can attack Steven Nelson. You can go after their inside corners. You've got to be careful with Fitzpatrick. He's got great eye he's got great eye awareness. He knows where the ball's going. But if you're going to beat Pittsburgh, you have to throw the football, much like what Tennessee did.
Okay, we mentioned just a start to show as far as breaking news, Carlos Dunlap to the Seahawks, hopefully add a rush there. Speaking of adding a rush, the Lions at 3-3, they're grasping. They beat the Jags and Falcons, so they're feeling themselves.
You just never say it. I mean, like, you're just so negative when you say it. I mean,
I am.
You know your man Will Hill's all over the Lions again
well,
this week.
He,
right?
He was texting me last night. He thinks Everson Griffin is Bruce Smith in his prime. He said, oh my gosh, Everson Griffin. I said, he's 32. He's got 2.5 sacks and the Cowboys just gave up on him. Anywho, I know you like the player. Is he going to make a difference there with the Lions?
Well, I think their rush has really gotten better. Being the objective observer that I am, I don't carry grudges like someone else I might happen to know from the Detroit area. I mean, their rush has actually gotten better. I mean, they've really gotten much better rush in the passer. Mm-hmm. And look, do I think they're a great pass rush team? No, but I mean, they've got 26 quarterback hits, you know, I can't say his name. Romeo Aquara.
You nailed it.
The defensive end.
You nailed it.
He's been really good for them. He's been better actually than Flowers of rushing the passer. He's given them more bang for their buck than anybody. And I think he's around the ball. He makes plays. He's had tackles for loss. So, you know, I mean, for me, you know, they only have 8 sacks. They're not good, but at least they're getting pressure. They were really trying to get after Atlanta last week. They put a lot of pressure on Matt Ryan. I don't think they have a fast defense whatsoever, but I do think Griffin will help them a little bit. You know, I like Everson Griffin. I think it gives him another guy to go along with Aquara and Flowers on the edge.
Yeah, no, they were trying this past week, and if Todd Gurley had tried, I'm just saying, if he had tried to fall an inch,
It has nothing to do with Gurley. It has nothing to do with Gurley.
Okay, help me.
If Raheem Morris would have just knelt that ball twice, the game's over. That's all. Everybody's blaming Gurley for not getting down. Like, seriously, stop. Just kneel the ball. Why don't we center it? We have to run 2 plays. We might have to run 3 plays. We have a timeout. We'll 1 play, kneel down. Run another play, kneel down. We won't lose a yard. Then we'll center it wherever our kicker wants it. We'll kick the field goal and go home.
All right. Well,
we'll stay home.
No, you love the Lions. So let's see. The Lions, you can get up 12.
I don't love the Lions.
Oh, okay.
I mean, but you know you're with the the sharps are all of the Prevalones are out for the Prevalones. I mean, there's a lot of money exchanged in hands here. There's only 680 tickets, but the Sharpies are moving that number. What was it, 3.5? It's down to 2.5
yeah,
now?
Yeah, it's right now a couple books have Colts at the Lions. Okay, so it opened 3. I think a couple of books got up to 3.5. Many have the Colts laying 3, and I see a couple of 2.5s popping up. Love towards the Honolulu blue and silver. You got to love it right now.
I mean, the uniforms are atrocious. I mean, they have such a beautiful uniform.
That's the one thing I like about them. I love the Honolulu blue and silver.
Disgust. I love the Honolulu blue. I don't like that gray uniform. They look like robots out there. But my line on this game is, when I break this game down, I think Detroit's a good play here. I really do. I think Detroit, you know, this game is, you know, you're going to be able to get. No, excuse me. I take that back. My number says to consider. I have it as a 5-point.
There
5.1
you go.
Game.
I was going to check your temperature like a COVID situation. All of a sudden, you were on the Lions.
I have
again.
It as a, I was. My eyes are bad here. I had a 5.1 game. The Lions 3. If I take this game, I really have to take. I have to take Indy, and I'm scared to death to take Indy because of you know who.
Yes, of course, Philip with the broken wing. Hey, I want to get to Atlanta and Carolina. You and I aren't going to be together tomorrow, so there's a couple questions I have for you on that Thursday night game before we get to it. So, again, if you're just joining us, the break. So, Dunlap, Seattle, Griffin, Detroit. Is there one that you say, okay, that intrigues me a little bit more? That's going to be a little bit of a difference maker. You tweeted about Dunlap. I thought it was pretty promising.
Well, look, I mean, the guy's had 17 sacks the last 2 years. He doesn't have it this year. His numbers are down this year, you know, and he's got 42 quarterback hits. I mean, if he does that production, you know, in the last 2 years, if he plays like he did in 19, he'll really help Seattle. You know, he'll give them another guy. I think he's motivated to play, so I do think he'll help them. I think Griffin's the same way. I think Griffin will give them, in the right role, Griffin will give them another rusher to go along with Flowers and Romeo, and those two guys can go in there and play well. So it helps. Look, any rush that Detroit can get can really help them. I mean, they're not a great coverage team either because they still have Trufant still hasn't played. You know, Justin Coleman's on. I mean, they have two of their corners on IR. They haven't really been able to see them. So I think anytime they can get a little bit of pressure, it's certainly going to help them.
And the trajectory for Galladay is a stud. You know this, but as far as being slept on across the league, he may be the most slept on wide receiver because he's incredible.
No doubt. Look, if their offensive line, if it plays well and they protect the quarterback makes plays. And look, I think Swift being the back makes them better. He's that point guard they need.
Thank you. The obsession with Adrian Peterson must stop in Detroit. When we come back, I do want to jump into that Thursday night game tomorrow night, Falcons-Panthers. I'm going to break out the Doppler because it's going to rain. It's going to be windy. That total is coming down. We'll get to it next here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Tools for your family jewels, 20% off, free shipping with the code VSiN20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off at manscaped.com. Use the promo code VSiN20. A month with more high stakes buzzer beaters and walk-off dingers than ever before demands a bigger bankroll. And with this exclusive offer, BetMGM Sports, just VSiN listeners, new customers can get their first deposit matched instantly up to $250. Wow. Use the bonus code VSiN250. Discover why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks with parlay bonus payouts, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions, much more. Download the app today. Use the code VSiN250 to get your first deposit matched up to $250 in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years or older, Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. 1-800-522-4700, Colorado, Nevada. For a gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER, New Jersey, West Virginia. 1-800-9 with it in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Let's go ahead and throw up the MVP numbers. So Russell, obviously, Michael Lombardi, as we welcome you back, is your big time favorite at -110. But how about a guy that's creeping? You see the numbers, 14-1 on Tommy over his last five. I was completely wrong on Brady. I mean, his last five games, 15 touchdowns, one pick. He's been awesome. That team is rolling right now, and so is Brady.
Yeah, and you know, I thought Tom played his best game in a long time against the Raiders. He didn't have any protection issues. He was able to stand back there and dish the ball. His uniform was clean after the game. You know, for me, up until that point, even in the Green Bay game, I thought their defense was carrying him the week before. Yep. I know he's got great numbers throwing. Brady's not going to throw interceptions. He's just not what he does. You know, he's going to hold the ball. He's slowly, methodically changing the way that they run their offense and how they call their offense and how they play complementary football and how they are able to keep the ball and help their defense. And it works. And so, you know, if he gets the MVP, I have a hard time thinking that he's in that. You know, to me, Ben Roethlisberger is as much responsible for the Steelers' undefeated season as anybody. And he's at 25-1. You know, he's played the last 2 weeks. I know he turned the ball over in the second half against Tennessee, but he's played really well. To me, this is really Russell Wilson's race to lose because Russell Wilson has to carry Seattle. Their defense is that bad. And then I think it's Aaron Rodgers. And I think those are the two that if I had to lay any money on anyone, once again, I've always said this. I would take $100 and spend it on five players and take a shot and see what it went to, because this is the one thing we know it's going to be a quarterback. It's the only it's the one award we know will come down. Even the defensive player of the year can change. I mean, last year it was Gilmore, but typically it's always a rusher. But this is the one position, the MVP of the NFL, that's always about the quarterback.
You know, when Bruce Arians ends up decide to hang up the Kangol, I don't think he should come to Vegas and play poker, because he's a terrible liar. Yesterday he was saying Tom Brady had nothing to do with Antonio Brown. It was
nothing
our decision.
Nothing.
In March he said the guy is a terrible fit. We know the guy. I know the guy. It's not going to work. And you know what he said? He's
mature. The worldwide leader couldn't wait to echo those comments. They said I was completely insane, that I was making things up. That's what they said.
It's really unbelievable. But good news, Antonio Brown has matured since March. And he has now been signed by the Tampa Bay.
Or he's had his phone taken away, because we have, I don't know if he's matured or changed, but he doesn't have a telephone. He doesn't have a smartphone. I mean, that's gone. I mean, that we haven't heard a word from him, have we?
No, we haven't. But we do know that BetMGM is basically giving you a number. Is he going to be cut? Total regular season appearances, 5.5. The number right now, -159
I play
the over.
I'm all over the
so
over.
So you think he's going to stick around?
There's no doubt. No doubt. Just the fact that we haven't heard from him tells me that. Oh, yeah. The over is going to be in play there. Receiving yards, I'd go over there, too. Touchdowns, 3.5. Oh, I'm over that. Oh, there's no doubt. Yep.
399
I'm just telling you. He's
receiving yards. Yep.
He's going to get the ball. He's going to make plays. He's going to be the inside slot receiver. He's going to be the guy that can make plays in the middle of the field. He's going to be their Julian Edelman. Even though they have Scotty Walker, this is going to be a better version of that. He's going to give them an inside guy. It's going to help Evans. It's going to help Godwin when he comes back from the broken finger. It's going to help their offense. And the way the offensive line is playing, I mean, this is the reason why Brady has been so successful, because we know if Tom has to slide right or left or move or he gets pressure, it's probably the next play. But this line has really played well, and you can't dismiss this.
He'll be eligible, Antonio Brown, AB, week 9 for the Bucs. Didn't even talk to Tom. That's just disrespect. I can't believe they didn't even ask his opinion. Huh? How about that?
They didn't even talk. They don't need Tom in that. You know, they got this handled.
Yeah.
They have this handled. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, Tom said.
Don't worry about it. They
Bruce, sit down. Keep
Bruce
your mouth
knows.
Shut.
Bruce
we're gonna,
knows.
We're going to sign Antonio Brown. That's exactly what he
Bruce
said.
Knows. Just like they're not running Tom's. It's just like they're not running Tom's offense. Okay, no worries. I got that.
All right. So tomorrow night, Falcons, Panthers. So this total's coming down. Open 51, Michael. We're now seeing some 49s pop up. Actually, I saw 48.5 earlier, because Falcons Panthers, remember, this is their second time meeting. The two teams played October 11th, so just 3 weeks ago, and the Panthers won in Atlanta 23-16, but 70% chance of rain, wind up to 15 miles an hour. It's going to be in the high 50s there in Carolina.
Yeah, that storm's coming through. That storm, I think, is coming through. Not that I'm a weatherman. You are.
Yes,
but
sir.
That storm, I believe, is coming through. And, it's going to impact this game. And to me, that doesn't really bode well for Atlanta. You know, I know you can move the football. Teddy's wearing a glove anyway. He throws Teddy two gloves. He throws the ball with the glove anyway. So I don't think it's going to affect him. I think the difference in this game is, when you break it down, is the ability of Carolina to run the football. I don't think McCaffrey's going to play. I don't know if they declared him out or not. But this Mike Davis has done a really good job. I mean, they had 437 yards the last time they played. They controlled the game. They only punted 3 times in the game. They went up and down the field. They had the ball 33 minutes, and they kept a good Atlanta offense off the field. That's what they have to do. Last week against New Orleans, they didn't do that. New Orleans was able to convert 12 of 14 third downs against the Carolina Panthers. That hurt them. Carolina moved the ball really well. They lose by 3, but they only had the ball 25 minutes. If they would have been able to get off the field, they played way too much zone last week. They cut Eli Apple this week. They can't play man-to-man. Their corner situation is really causing them some problems. They've got to be able to rush the passer and put pressure on Matt Ryan if they're going to come away with the victory. And it's always hard to beat a team twice. I don't care if the team fired its coach or not.
Oh, you're leaning Falcons here. The question marks, Julio Jones with a quick turnaround here, and then Christian McCaffrey. He has been at practice, so he may play. Carolina just ran for 37 yards last week against, in a loss, 27-24 to New Orleans. Are you leaning right now? No, you'll be talking about this officially tomorrow, but are you leaning Falcons catching?
Yeah, my numbers say Carolina, but I think you really have to make sure, where is Carolina defensively health-wise? I think that's the concern. return. Short week. They've had, since they beat Atlanta, they've lost two straight, and a lot of that is due to the fact their depth of their football team has been depleted with injuries, and I think you have to be really concerned about that.
Okay, there's a couple numbers I wanted to ask you as far as line movement before we get out of here.
We never talked about that Vegas-Cleveland game. I mean, that line's moving there.
Go ahead. Let's jump into that. So Las Vegas and Cleveland. So Cleveland opened 3.5, but the number right now headed Vegas's way, the Raiders, as it's now down to 3 here, but I'm seeing 2.5s across the board across Vegas.
You know, I think the Raiders will move the ball with ease against the Browns. Everybody does. They've given up over 30 points. I think they'll control the ball effectively, keep Baker Mayfield off the field. And if they can stop the run, if the Raiders can play better run defense, then force Mayfield to have to play from behind, which I think they will. This is the classic setup for John Gruden to be really effective. He knows what they're going to be in defense. He'll be able to control the ball. They can run the ball. They'll make plays against a bad Cleveland defense. Now, we got to check weather and all that. It's only Wednesday. But I like this matchup. I like the way this game sets up for the Raiders.
Yeah, he's bitter about the defense. He's like, we got to get some juice on defense. I can't do
Well, I mean,
it
it's his defense. He's the general manager. He picked the defense. I mean, I like Mike Mayock, but Mike Mayock isn't the guy picking it. I mean, Mike Mayock's helping him, but it's his it's his call. I mean, he's the guy that picked Farrell, who didn't run a 40, this is what they want. You know, one thing I like when teams complain about their team, that's who you wanted to be. Like, don't complain about the team. That's what you wanted. This is what you think. You know, I was talking to somebody in the building this summer, and they thought that Malik Collins could be a dominating disruptor for them. That was going to change their team. They think Rod Marinelli's passion is going to help that rush. I know they beat the Chiefs. I know that. I'm aware of that. They're not going to beat the Chiefs again, I can tell you that. And they're not going to beat any good team in the playoffs with a defense this bad.
Did you hear the Raiders beat the Chiefs? Because that's been a conversation. And by the one thing is surprising. Derek Carr is not the point of contention here. It's everything else. He's actually played well this year.
It's amazing. He has this unique ability to get the QBR rating. He's 7th overall in the league, and he's the only guy up there in the top 10 with an L next to his name. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, it's unbelievable. Yet, you know, I'll go back to the third. This is why you can't always look at stats. There was a play in the game. It was 3rd and 4. And if Gruden punted there, I'm saying to myself, the Bucs will go up 10, and this will be over. And they don't get that third down. They don't convert it. He doesn't make a play. Next thing you know, they punt. Boom, they go up by 10. Next play, turnover. Boom, they're up by 17, game over. And so that's where you don't see that play. That's just one of the third downs he didn't make. But that was a play he needed to make that never shows up. And that's the thing that drives you crazy about Derek Carr. There's always that play that's not in the stat sheet, that unless you study the game and understand the game completely, you can't really pick on him. And that's why when I pick on him, people are saying I'm too negative to him. But there's plays that he doesn't make that help he needs to help the team win.
The Jets picked up an ATS win against Buffalo. Are you part of the love right now? How about the steam on the Jets? Kansas City open at home, lane 21. It's been bet down to 19.5.
I don't know my number said it should be 13. That's where I am. So if I have to play this game and hold a gun to my head, I have to take the Jets, don't I?
That's a discrepancy. You got
to
play the Jets.
I have to. I don't want to. I just wonder how Andy Reid's keeping his team motivated this week, because they all see this stuff too.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. All right, Michael, have a good day. Brady's coming up next with The Edge. Okay, Aaron, thank you. Tom, thank you. Michael, M. Lombardi, NFL. Have a great Wednesday, Michael. Thank you.
All right, Patrick, talk soon.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. The Edge is coming up next. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.